As you saw, I will share with you. Go ahead. I will share with you a little bit about the apparition of Our Lady in Fatima. After the June apparition in 1917, Lucia was in doubt because, you know, she found that her family was not at peace. The mother always forcing her, say, "Tell the priest that you are lying, you liar," so there's no peace at home. And then also when she was at the priest, and then because they have something that they feel is a secret, they shouldn't tell, right? So the priest say, usually when there's apparition, Our Lady or Jesus would tell the visioner to tell the priest or the spiritual director everything. But you keep so many things to yourself. Maybe it's the devil. So now Lucia, she even got a nightmare about the devil, tried to drag her to hell. So she tried to avoid Jacinta and Francisco. So when they call out, "Lucia, Lucia," even though she was really close, she was just hiding. So they couldn't find her. And she lost the appetite, the enthusiasm for sacrifice. And so now she determined on July, "I'm not going to Cofidel Arena." That's her decision. And so Jacinta and Francisco say, "No, we need you to be there. Who would talk to the lady if you are not there?" Because remember, Lucia was the only one talk to the lady. Jacinta listened, but she won't talk. Francisco didn't hear a thing at all. He only saw Our Lady. So, but he said, "If you want to go, you go. I'm not going." So poor Francisco, Jacinta didn't know what to do now. On July 13th, when his team came for the time to actually go to Cofidel Arena, suddenly Lucia felt a strong impulse inside her that is irresistible to go. And so she went to the home of Francisco and Jacinta and found them, they were the two little ones were in the bedroom, and Jacinta's crying at the back of the bed. And then Lucia say, "Are we going?" And then Jacinta say, "If you're not going, we don't dare to go." And say, "Yes, I'm going." So they were really happy, and so they went. Turned out the July apparition was one of the most important apparitions. When Lucia saw Our Lady, as usual, she asked the same question, "What do you want of me?" And Our Lady said, "You know, I want you to come here on the 13th day of next month. And then also to pray the rosary in honor of Our Lady of the Rosary, to obtain peace for the world and end of the war, because only she can obtain it." And then Lucia asked Our Lady, "Can you perform a miracle so that all can see and believe?" And Our Lady asked them to keep on coming. On October, she said, "I will perform a miracle so that all can see and believe." So that's the first time she predicted the October miracle. And she will predict that again on August and September apparitions. And then Lucia has some requests to Our Lady on behalf of other people. And Our Lady said, you know, they have to pray the rosary to obtain those favors during the year. And then Our Lady asked them to sacrifice themselves. And also when they make sacrifices, especially say that prayer, "Oh Jesus, this is for the love of you, for the conversion of sinners, and in reparation for the sins committed against the Immaculate Heart of Mary." And then Our Lady opened her hands, and then they saw what we call the secret of Fatima. So the secret involved three parts. The first part is they saw the vision of hell. They saw the sea of fire with devils and souls. And so that's the first secret. The second part of the secret was when they looked at Our Lady for pity, Our Lady told the children, "Now you saw hell, where poor sinners go to. And to save poor sinners, God wants to establish devotion to the Immaculate Heart." And then Our Lady predicted that, you know, if people follow her teaching through the Immaculate Heart devotion, many souls will be saved. But also, Our Lady also predicted about, you know, Immaculate Heart is important for peace of the world. Because she predicted the war was going to end, World War I. But if people keep offending God, there would be another world war, even more serious, start during the reign of Pius XI. And then Our Lady predicted, if you see a mysterious light at night time, it's a sign that God was about to punish the world, and that light did happen eventually in Northern Europe before World War II. And then also Our Lady predicted that she would come back to ask for two things. First is the first first Saturday communion of reparation on the first Saturday of the month. And second is the consecration of Russia. So God willing, next year when we go on pilgrimage, we will visit those two sites in Spain that that Lucia saw those two visions in the 1920s that already asked for those two things. And then she also predict, our leader also predict that Russia will spread her errors, the communism, to different parts of the world, provoking wars and persecution. But at the end, Immaculate Heart would be triumphed, the Holy Father would consecrate Russia, and there would be peace for the world for a time. So that's the second part of the secret about the Immaculate Heart for peace of the world and salvation of sinners. And the third part of the secret was about persecution, that a bishop dressed in white, the Holy Father, you know, passing through a big city with a lot of dead bodies, and then he go up the hill with a big cross, and then he was being shot. And then the bishops, the priests, the consecrated men and women, the lay faithful, they were being shot by bullets and arrows. And then the angel gathered the blood of the martyrs and sprinkled on the souls of those dead bodies to help them get to heaven. So it's a vision of the persecution. And then after that, Our Lady taught the prayer that we say after each decade of the rosary, "Oh my Jesus, forgive us our sins." So that's the July apparition of 1917. Last time, remember I talked about many stories about the bronze scapula, the meeting at home, you know. Oh, again, in my age, I feel getting easily. Last time, one of you left a water bottle, a black one, at my home. Okay, after meeting, you come with me to my car, we'll get from my trunk, okay? Yeah, somebody left a water bottle. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, good. Okay, let's go back. So last time we talked about a different story about the bronze scapula. Remember some story in Ku, you know, that when somebody dying, you know, the priest put on the bronze scapula on the person, and then they eventually converted because of the prayer of Our Lady. And also some story about how Our Lady protect the people, you know, when the house were burning down, you know, one family, they put the scapula on the front door, and so all the other house burned down but except that house. And then another story about, you know, when they have the hurricane on the ship, you know, a young man threw the scapula into the sea, and then they were stopped, the hurricane, and then the wave brought back the scapula on the feet of that young man. And then a story like a man being cut in half by the train, ordinary would be dead already, but because he wore the bronze scapula, he was still conscious for 45 minutes, just in time for the priest to give him the last rite before he died. And then we also heard about, of course, the famous promise in the year 1251, July 16, Our Lady made to St. Simon Stock that whoever wear the bronze scapula when they die would not suffer eternal fire of hell. And so it's the bronze scapula is a really good devotion. And then now with Fatima, the scapula is also become a sign of consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So, of course, in the second meeting of August, for those who want, you can be enrolled with the bronze scapula. Huh? I will bless and also have the ceremony of enrollment. So this is in this summertime, we basically have a few meetings that about Our Lady. Last time we talked about stories about the bronze scapula. This time I will use this book mainly to tell you many stories about the rosary. And then next two times, I want to introduce to you a new book called The 30 Days to Morning Glory. It's a book that is about consecration to Our Lady, but it's based on the teaching of four holy men and women. Huh? It's St. Louis Marie de Montfort, St. Maximilian Kolbe, Mother Teresa, and John Paul II. And then in the meanwhile, while I present to you, you know, next meeting about Louis Marie de Montfort and Maximilian Kolbe teaching, I will also use the book called The Glory of Mary of St. Alphonsus the Glory. That book have a lot of stories too about devotion to Our Lady. So I will pick the story out and share with you in the next couple meetings. So by August, you should be all Marianed. And so you can have the enrollment really, really good.
Marianized.
Okay, very nice. Okay. So the rosary devotion. Now, just like last time we mentioned, there are actually different kind of scapula linked to different religious order, like the white scapula for the Trinity, the red one for the Passion, the black one for Our Lady of Sorrow, the blue one for Immaculate Conception. But by far the most popular one is the brown one, because of the 1251 apparition of Our Lady to St. Simon's Dock. So there are other scapula around in the church, but the most prominent one, the most popular one, the most famous one is the brown scapula. Also, likewise, you know, rosary have been around for a while, okay? Rosary, you know, in the old days, the monks would pray 150 psalms, sometimes per day, sometimes per week. But many people would not know how to read and write in those days. Many people, they don't know how to read and write. So many people, they would use 150 Our Father to substitute that, or 150 Hail Mary. But and then they also add meditations, okay? Added meditations, different mysteries. So even nowadays, in the church, there are different forms of rosary as well, okay? Like the Franciscan, they have that is a seven-decade rosary. 10 Hail Mary each for each decade is for the seven joy of Our Lady. The seven joy basically is really similar to many mysteries. We have also have that in the regular rosary, the Dominican rosary, but they have the also the coming of the Magi as a, one of the mysteries. And then the Servite, they have the seven sorrows. You know, the rosary is 49 Hail Marys, seven decades, seven Hail Mary for each decade. And it's thinking about the seven sorrows of Our Lady. And then the Brigantine, remember, who of you were at the pilgrimage to Portland in 2010? Mm-hmm. Yeah, remember? We went to the Brigantine Monastery, mm-hmm. and they make honey. They want to sell honey to us.
Yeah, why didn't we get honey?
They don't buy. I don't know why. People don't buy them from them. It's pretty rude of us. But anyhow, but they also try to that they also in the gift shop they also have the rosary that are 63 Hail Marys. It's 6 decades for 3 Hail Mary, because it was believed that I already lived 63 years on earth. And so that's the kind of Byzantine rosary. So there are different kinds of rosary around, actually.
How did somebody figure out this, that she lived 63 years?
It's a tradition.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyhow, Dominican rosary is 150 Hail Marys. The joyful, the sorrowful, and the glorious. Okay. You know that the Newman is only added in 2002 by John Paul II. Mm-hmm. Dominican rosary is joyful, sorrowful, glorious, 150 Hail Marys. So, Saint Dominic, at that time, he was fighting the heresy called the Albigensians. But he also found that the people in the church, their sinfulness, sin in the church, they prevented the conversion of the Albigensians. So he was really sad. He prayed unceasingly for 3 days and three nights. And then he did harsh penance on himself. In those days, people scourged themselves. So he was scourging himself, doing penance, until his body was full of blood. And then he would be so tired, he just lost consciousness. And then he saw Our Lady with three angels. Our Lady said to him, "Dear Dominic, do you know what weapon the Blessed Trinity wants to use to reform the world?" And the saint said, "Oh, my Lady, you know far better than I do, because next to your Son Jesus Christ, you have always been the chief instrument of our salvation." And Our Lady said, "I want you to know that in this kind of warfare," so that the thing to use is the angelic psalter. Psalter is the, you know, it's like the psalm, the book for the psalm. Angelic is because Angel Gabriel, right? Hail Mary. The angelic psalter, that means 150 Hail Marys, which is the foundation stone of the New Testament. Therefore, if you want to reach these hardened souls and win them over to God, preach my psalter. And then with enthusiasm, he woke up, and then he went to the cathedral, and the angels ring the bell, and people gather, and then he preached the rosary. So that's the story. So he was, and then from that time on, he was preaching the rosary, and then he also had the, there's a confraternity of the rosary. People can enroll themselves into that confraternity. No meeting, no stop, you know, you just enroll yourself. I'm enrolled already in the confraternity. You know, in Portland, remember in the good old days when we go to the pilgrimage in 2010, we went to the Holy Rosary Church. Remember that beautiful church? That was the headquarter of the confraternity of the Rosary. That church was the headquarter of the confraternity of the Rosary because it's run by the Dominican.
It was the one with the really nice stained glass windows.
Yeah, that's
right?
That's the one.
Yeah.
You still remember, huh?
And they had doggies.
Donkey.
Yes, they had like
a dog, doggy, dog. Because the Dominic, the symbol of the Dominic is the dog, right?
Yes.
Yeah. That's why like, everyone they put a dog. That's why when they do the sink cup, they put a dog in. You know, like the Passion scene, they put a dog watching Jesus. You know, because Saint Dominic, the symbol of Dominic is Saint Dominic is a dog. Yeah. So I'm hoping today is Sister Janet Mary Yu profession because she is a Dominican. Yeah. So we talk about her order today. And so Saint Elizabeth de Montfort wrote a little book called The Secret of the Rosary. So this book can be available in many, many places, you know, Amazon, you know, easy to buy. Secret of the Rosary by Elizabeth de Montfort. So this book actually based a lot of information from this book. So this is a bit more hard to buy, but so this one will be easier. Get a copy. Now, Saint Elizabeth de Montfort, you know, saying that, you know, just pray the rosary together is powerful because you share the merit of other people's rosary more closely. And then also, you know, if you have discretion, don't worry if it's involuntary. Just watch out to give involuntary discretion. You know, if you have a good idea about what to eat in mission. I'm still finding a restaurant right now, you know. When you pray the rosary, you don't just say, oh, to think about sushi and Chinese food and, you know, be spread willingly, you know. Yeah, I'm still looking around for restaurant. I just emailed one of my old assistant in my, I taught prep in mission when I was a seminarian, but you know, I was such a good seminarian. I didn't go out for because we are not supposed to go out to eat, so I never go out to eat. And then after right now when we talk with some other people who studied there before, actually they knew all the restaurants, but I didn't know. I don't know what happened. They know everything, but I didn't know about a clue the restaurant in mission because I never go out to eat myself. Rarely. In the seminary. I think the only one we have is when we other teaching the catechism class on our way that we might just drop by for some little pizza. That's all. But people know the restaurants. But anyhow, I asked someone that I knew have been living in mission all her life and see what his recommendation. We're 40, 50 people. It's hard to get a place to eat. Anyhow, before we finish meeting, I just want to have a show hand who will be going to the day trip so I know how many will be actually eating that evening. Because I know in the Surrey group we have 20 people already. So you know, with this group, I don't know how many. You know, we have 30, maybe even 40, including the Chinese people. They may also want to come. But anyhow, the best rosary is the one that you pray with effort, right? The gain merit. So even if you are distracted and then you just put your mind back, you know, if, as long as you do your best, that's important. I want to tell you a story. One time, it was in the year 1884, there was a young lady, her name is not Melissa, her name is Fortuna. She was extremely sick. And then the prominent doctors, they came to see her and they all gave up hopeless, she is going to die. But she and the family didn't give up hope. They trust in Our Lady and they decided to make a novena. 9-day prayer. And the 9-day novena is to pray 5 decades of the rosary every day. So they started novena in 1884, February, close to your birthday, February the 16th. So they start the novena. And then on March the 3rd, already appear. Our little rosary with St. Dominic and St. Catherine, they appear to Fortuna, the little girl. And the girl cried to Our Lady from her heart, Queen of the Holy Rosary, be gracious to me, restore me to health. I've already prayed to thee in a novena, O Mary, but have not yet experienced thy aid. I'm so anxious to be cured. And Our Lady answered, Child, Thou hast invoked me by various titles that has always obtained favors from me. Now since you have called me by that title, so pleasing to me, Queen of the Holy Rosary, I can no longer refuse the favor you are without this petition. For this name is more precious and dear to me. Make 3 novenas, and you shall obtain all. Later on, I already appeared to her again and told her, whoever desires to obtain favor from me should make 3 novenas of the prayers of the rosary in petition, and 3 novenas in thanksgiving. So that's why it's called the 54-day novena. Because if you do 3 novena of petition, 9 times 3 is 27. And then another 3 novena of thanksgiving, 27, so it's 54. So usually for that novena, the first day you do the joyful, second day you do the sorrowful, and third day the glorious, and the fourth day joyful again, and then sorrowful, and then glorious, and then just rotate like that. After the prayer meeting on Saturday, I do a little math. I was thinking, if you start that novena, I think about the feast day of Assumption, the biggest feast of Our Lady, Assumption. If you start that novena on the feast of Assumption, on August 15th, you finish the novena right on the feast of the Holy Rosary on October 7th. Try it, okay? August 15th, you start it. So, and then you have 54 days, so you finish that on October 7th, the feast of the Holy Rosary. That's my suggestion. So make a novena for me, okay?
Why you told us that?
Okay, so just want to give you the idea, okay? Now, one of the good things about this book is he used a lot of stories. And I find that when I told the story to the children group, you know, children like to hear that. So tonight you will be like my children. I will tell you all those stories. Okay, first story. There was a Franciscan. Before dinner, he remembered he hasn't finished his rosary. So he asked his superior to let him do his rosary. He got the permission, but then he was so late, so the superior asked another friar to see what was going on. And so the other friar saw that when he was praying, I already was there with 2 angels. And each time he prayed a Hail Mary, a rose came out of his mouth. And the angel took the rose and put it on the head of Our Lady. And so the superior found the other friar haven't came back. So he sent another 2 to see what's going on. And so the other 2 also went and they saw the same thing. And so they didn't want to disturb him until he finished the whole rosary. And Our Lady was there, and then the angel put the roses around her head. The moral of this story is, each time we pray the rosary, when we say the Hail Mary, each Hail Mary is a rose that we present to our Blessed Mother. So it's called the rosary, right? Now, another story. There was a king, King Alfonso. He wore a big rosary in order to inspire other people to pray the rosary, even though he himself didn't pray the rosary. But he wore the big rosary to inspire other people to pray the rosary.
Okay.
One day, the king became really, really sick, and he was give up for dead. And then he saw in a vision that he was being judged by Jesus, and many devils were there to accuse him of his sin, and Jesus was about to condemn him to hell. But Our Lady came to intercede for him. She asked for a scale. On the one side had the sin of King Alfonso. On the other side put the rosary he was wearing. Plus the other rosary, because of his wearing, inspired other people to pray. And the other side became more heavy. And Our Lady said to King Alfonso, as a reward for this little honor that you pay me in wearing my rosary, I have obtained a great grace for you from my son. Your life will be spared for a few more years. See that you spend these years wisely and do penance. So when the king woke up, he cried out, blessed be the rosary of the Most Holy Virgin Mary, by which I have been delivered from eternal damnation. You can imagine for the rest of his life, he would promote the rosary and also pray the rosary. St. Dominic did a big exorcism for a man. And during the exorcism, he forced the devil to confess who in heaven they were most afraid of. And of course, that's Our Lady. And so, the devil says something like this: we fear her more than all the other things in heaven together, and we have no success with her faithful servants. Many Christians who call upon her when they are at the hour of death, and who really ought to be damned according to our ordinary standards, are saved by her intercession. And then the devil also said, oh, if only that Mary, and so they were really furious when they called that name, had not pitted her strength against ours, and had not upset our plans, which have conquered the church, and should have destroyed it long before this, and which would have seen to it that all the orders of the church fell into error and disorder. And then the devil also said, now that we are forced to speak, we must also tell you this. Nobody who perseveres in saying the rosary will be damned, because she obtains for her servants the grace of true contrition for their sins, and by means of this they obtain God's forgiveness and mercy. Oh, that's another story about a young girl. Her name is... How do you pronounce that?
Alessandre.
Good name, huh? A young girl, Alexandre, had been miraculously converted and enrolled by St. Dominic in the confraternity of the Most Holy Rosary. After she died, she appeared to St. Dominic and said that she had been condemned to 700 years of purgatory because of her own sins and those that she had made others commit by her worldly ways. So she implored St. Dominic to ease her pains by his prayer and asked the confraternity members to pray for the same end. So St. Dominic had the whole confraternity praying rosary for her. See the power of the rosary? 700 years, now reduced to 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, she appeared to St. Dominic more radiant than the sun, had been quickly delivered from purgatory through the prayers that the confraternity members had said for her. And she also told St. Dominic is a message for him. The holy souls in purgatory had given her a message to beg St. Dominic to go on preaching the Holy Rosary and beg their relations, their relatives, to offer their rosaries for them, and that they would reward them abundantly when they came into their glory. So far so good at the story. Now I'll tell you some bad example about priests, okay? Two priests, unfortunately, they were so jealous about the success of the confraternity of the rosary, and they determined to destroy it. And they preached against the rosary whenever they had a chance, because they were so famous and eloquent, so people listened to them and they don't join the confraternity. One of them, determined to really put the wicked plan into really practice, wrote a special sermon against the rosary, determined to preach it on next Sunday. But when it came to the time to preach, he wasn't there. People wait and found him dead. Obviously, he died all alone without any sacraments and no priest helped him to die. His friend, convinced that his friend died of natural cause, determined to carry on his plan. So he wrote a similar sermon and determined to preach that on another day. In this way, he put an end of the confraternity of the rosary. But when the day came, when the time came for him to preach, God punished him. He was struck down and was paralyzed, lost his speech, and also couldn't move his limbs. So now he sincerely acknowledged his sin and the sin of his friend. And then he promised Our Lady, if she would only cure him, he would preach the Holy Rosary with as much zeal as that with which he formerly fought against it. And after the prayer, he was cured. And then he woke up like another soul, you know, from persecutioner to a defender of faith. And so now he acknowledged his error publicly, and then from that time on, he go on preaching the rosary. So, there was another story, more story. One time, there was a young university student, and he was riding on a train. And then there was a humble man. Looked like he was a well-to-do, humble farmer. Looked like a farmer. And then he sat beside the young man. And then the older man was using his rosary. And then the young man said to him, "Sir, do you still believe in such outdated thing?" And then the old man said, "Yes, I do. Do you not?" And the young man burst into laughter and said, "I do not believe in such silly things. Take my advice. Throw the rosary out through the window and learn what science has to say about it." And the old man said, "Science? I do not understand this science. Perhaps you can explain it to me." He said that really humbly with some tears in his eyes. And the young student saw that the old man was deeply moved, didn't want to hurt him anymore, and he said, "Please give me your address and I will send you some literature to help you on this matter." So the man pulled out a card from his pocket, gave it to the boy. When he got the card, he was feeling ashamed. Written in the card is, "Louis Pasteur, Director of the Institute of Scientific Research, Paris." So, one time a priest was called to administer the sacrament for the dying one night to a young man who was leading a really sinful life. The young man was unconscious. But since now it's right after midnight, the priest went to say mass for the young man. Because in the good old days, remember, priests had to fast, even lay people had to fast from midnight until receiving communion. So if it's not midnight yet, you just cannot, you know. Okay, so after the mass, he got a message. The young man regained consciousness. So he hastened back to the young man and found him full of contrition. And then he generously offered up his life to make up for his past sin. And then he received the sacraments of confession and other sacraments with exceptional devotion. He was astonished, you know, a sinful young man now looked like a little saint before he died. So he asked, "How can you obtain such grace?" And the man with tears and crying and told the priest, "Ah, Father, it is purely the effect of God's mercy. I can only attribute it to your prayer and those of my good mother. When my mother was about to die, she called me to her bedside and expressed her fears at the dangers I would have to encounter in the world. She then said to me, 'I leave you under the protection of the Blessed Virgin Mary. I have a slight favor to ask of you. It is a pledge of the love that you bear to your dying mother. Promise me that you will recite the rosary daily.'" And the young man said, "I promise it on my knees. I have kept my promise. And I confess that for these 10 years, it is the only act of religion I have practiced." So obviously, because of the rosary, this young man was saved. Another time, there was a priest who called to a sick dying person. The house number is supposed to be 28. But the priest made a mistake. He went to house number 18. First story locked. Like went to the second story, and the young child led the priest to a room, and in that room there was a dying lady with a man in his 50s sitting beside her. So even though the priest made a mistake, but he ran to the place that actually got a dying person there. So the priest kindly asked the man, "How was his wife doing?" And the man was really rude. He said, "That does not concern you. What are you doing here? Who sent for you? And then the priest said, "Someone called me to a sick person, but perhaps I have made a mistake in the number of the house. In any case, I believe I can be of use here also, for it is undoubtedly God's will that I should come to your wife." And then the wife started to speak. She said in a weak voice, "Yes, indeed. Almighty God has led you here. I willingly make my confession." And then the man said, "That you shall not. For 10 years, no priest has set foot in this house. So leave us in peace, sir, and do not trouble yourself about our affairs." And the priest replied to the man, My friend, your wife's soul does not belong to you. So I will hear her confession and do my duty. Please leave us alone for a time. So the man grumbled, but eventually he had to leave. So the priest heard the woman's confession. And the woman picked out a rosary and said to the priest, "Look, Father, this rosary must have saved me. For 10 years, I have turned my back on God and my religion for fear of my husband. But every day I have faithfully said a decade of the rosary." And so this woman, you know, make a really good confession, and then she died soon after. One time, there was a man. He was really famous and honored in the world, but he turned away from religion. One time, there was a grand festival. So priests, lay people were all there. While that man was with other priests, he said, "I would willingly believe in the true faith, but it is quite impossible for me to attain to it." And then one of the priests present sitting near to him just whispered to his ears, "You have no faith? Then say the rosary." After that, the conversation continued to the other direction without any mention of that same subject again. But 3 years later, that priest received a letter, and it ran something like that. "You will perhaps still remember that about 3 years ago, I was in the company with some priests, of whom you were amongst the number. I then expressed my regret that I could not believe, whereupon you advised me to say the rosary. Those words, which seemed so strange at first, remain in my memory, always ringing in my ear with a singular fascination. By degrees, they touched my heart, and at length they became sweet and lovable to me. I began to say the rosary, and today I believe. I am now happy and joyfully fulfill my religious duties." You may know that in the year 1571, there was a battle because the Muslims want to invade Europe. And Pope Pius V had the Europe people to fight against that in the sea. And many people prayed with the crusade of the rosary. It was on October 7, 1571. You know, at that time there was a battle. The Christian won because the wind changed direction. It's in favor of the Christian army. And then Pope Pius V was in Rome. He suddenly got up, looked out of the window, and then he said to the cardinal, "Let us give thanks to God for the great victory the Christians have won." So even though he was so far away, God let him knew already that the Christian won the battle. So it was Sunday, October 7, 1571. And so that's why the feast of Our Lady of Victory was instituted. At first, it was celebrated on the first Sunday of October. Later on, became the feast of October 7, the feast of Our Lady of the Holy Rosary. And then in the year 1683, a similar thing happened when there's a battle going on. And again, you know, it was pouring the rosary for the Christian against the Muslim. And then the Christian won the battle. It was on September 12. And that's why Pope Blessed Innocent XI instituted the feast day of the Holy Name of Mary for September 12. It was because of the battle in the year 1683. And there was a woman, her name was Catherine, you know. She was living a sinful life, but because of St. Dominic, she picked up the rosary practice. And one day Christ appeared to her as a man, and then eventually appeared in the crown of thorns to convert her. And so she gave up her sinful way of life. And Jesus told that lady, Catherine, she obtained that grace of conversion because of the rosary that she said. I think we all know the apparition of Lourdes and Fatima is about the rosary. And then after Fatima apparition, there was the World War II, as Our Lady predicted. And then, as you know, that it was in the year 1945, on August 6th when the two atomic bombs, you know, fell on Japan. In the first atomic bomb, there was a house, surrounding area, they all reduced to nothing, to ashes. But there's one house standing, and inside the house was 8 Jesuit priests. And then years later, people who survived the atomic bomb, they still suffer from sickness, even death because of radiation. But those 8 priests have no sign of sickness. And so they were interviewed by the television. And a German Jesuit in that house, he gave the answer why they were spared. He said, in that house, the rosary was prayed every day. In that house, we were living the message of Fatima. And then when the second bomb was also fell on Japan, again the area was reduced to ruin, except a Franciscan monastery built by Saint Maximilian Kolbe. Now after World War II, communism almost took over Austria, but 10% of the population, 700,000, they have the Rosary Crusade. And so after praying for 7 years, on the Feast of Fatima, May 13, 1955, suddenly the communists just withdrew from Austria. And so Austria was spared by communism. And then in Brazil, 1964, similar thing happened. You know, they almost took over by communism. And then the million of people went to the street. Young men, old men, ladies, children, and then they prayed the rosary. And then after that, you know, the communism, they fled the country. And then in 1975, similar thing also happened in Portugal. Right? Portugal. So really powerful rosary. So now I want to read with you, we're almost finished. I want to read for you the 15 promises of Our Lady to St. Dominic and Blessed Anne about praying the rosary. The first one is, whoever shall faithfully serve me by the recitation of the rosary shall receive signal graces. Second, I promise my vessel protection and the greatest graces to all those who shall recite the rosary. Third, the rosary shall be a powerful armor against hell. It will destroy vice, decrease sin, and defeat heresies. Four, it will cause virtue and good works to flourish. It will obtain for souls an abundant mercy of God. It will withdraw the hearts of men from the love of the world and its vanities, and will lift them to the desire of eternal things. Oh, that souls will sanctify themselves by this means. Five, the soul which recommends itself to me by the recitation of the rosary shall not perish. Six, whoever shall recite the rosary devoutly, applying himself to the consideration of its sacred mysteries, shall never be conquered by misfortune. God will not chastise him in his justice. He shall not perish by an unprovided death. If he be just, he shall remain in the grace of God and become worthy of eternal life. Seven, whoever shall have a true devotion for the rosary shall not die without the sacraments of the church. 8. Those who are faithful to recite the rosary shall have during their life and at their death the light of God and the plenitude of his graces. At the moment of death, they shall participate in the merits of the saints in paradise. 9. I shall deliver from purgatory those who have been devoted to the rosary. 10. The faithful children of the rosary shall merit a high degree of glory in heaven. 11. You shall obtain all you ask of me by the recitation of the rosary. 12. All those who promulgate the Holy Rosary shall be aided by me in their necessities.
What does promulgate mean?
I think it's promote.
Okay.
13. I have obtained from my Divine Son that all the advocates of the rosary shall have for intercessors the entire celestial court during their life and the hour of death. 14. All who recite the rosary are my sons and brothers of my only Son, Jesus Christ. 15. Devotion to my rosary is a great sign of predestination. So, there was a man, his name is Bartolo Longo. At one point, he left the Catholic Church, became a Satanist, even a Satan priest. And then he was so bad, and then he looked so unhealthy that his friend rebuked him. And then he came to his senses and came back to the Catholic Church. And then, even though he came back, at one point he almost despaired. He was thinking, you know, if the Catholic priest, when you become a priest, is forever a priest, maybe if you become a Satan priest, it's also eternal. So he was a bit despair. But and then he remembered the promises of the rosary, you know, thinking that can be the guarantee of his salvation. And so he determined that he would use the rosary for his salvation. He would promote the rosary so that people would pray the rosary. And then suddenly, when he got the idea, the church bell rang. So he think that's the confirmation from heaven. So he started a shrine, you know, a Pompeii in Italy. And then he also have the magazine about the rosary. He also started a religious order of nuns to promote the rosary, to pray the rosary. And so he became a blessed after he died. And so he was from a great sinner to be a saint because of the promises of the rosary, because of the devotion of the Holy Rosary. Okay.